This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, November 13th, 2013. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, The Pleasures of Puzzlement. Susan Wheeler's poems don't often reveal themselves on the first reading, or even on the second. They sometimes seem to deliberately resist telling us what they're about, but her language and her images stick out in strange and memorable ways. As John Ashbery said of her poems, what at first seems cacophonous comes in the end to seem invested with a mournful dignity. One of Susan Wheeler's friends happens to be David Sedaris, the author and humorist who is well known to New Yorker readers and to This American Life listeners. David Sedaris told us that he loved his friend's poetry, but was often flummoxed by it. So we asked him to choose a Susan Wheeler poem to talk about on the podcast, and we got Susan Wheeler to read it for us from a radio studio at Princeton University, where she teaches. I began by asking David Sedaris how they knew each other.
I met Susan at the Art Institute. I was taking a painting class, and for some reason, I turned into the painting teacher, a little story that I had written, that I had bound into a little book. And he said, actually, you should be showing this to Susan Wheeler. Susan worked in the admissions office at the Art Institute, and I signed up for an independent study. And I'm not a poet. I've never written poetry, but Susan was my first writing teacher. And then we remained friends. And at the time, I was just beginning to meet, you know, like a lot of people call themselves a poet. You know, a lot of people call themselves poet. And so they were a lot of slam poets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And their poems tended to sound the same. You know, it was like, she was a bad girl living in the basement of her mother's home. And I just didn't, it all just kind of sounded alike to me. And then I heard Susan read, and I just never heard anything like it, because I was out of school sort of the day that they taught us how to read poetry. And so I
missed that class.
I don't dare read poetry myself, but I love hearing poetry read to me. And the first time I heard Susan read, because the words were isolated, it just gave them a brilliance that I had never afforded them.
On the page, it was difficult, but when you heard them, they came alive in a way? Is that
Yes. I mean, on the page, all poetry is difficult for me.
Right.
But the same, like, I was in the Netherlands recently, and when you curse someone out in the Netherlands, you call them a cancer whore. Okay, like, so I never thought to put the word cancer next to the word whore.
Yeah.
And it just changes cancer and it changes whore. And to me, Susan's poetry changes words that I thought that I knew.
And Susan, first impressions of David Sedaris. How long ago was this, by the way? Was this in the late 80s, 90s? When was this?
It was 1984.
So first impressions?
Well, I remember telling him, he said he was writing prose, and I remember saying, I don't know anything about that, and there are other people around you might check out who do. And he said, no, he thought this is what he wanted to do. And it was years later that I figured out it was because I smoked, so he could smoke cigarettes while we had our conferences.
In class. You smoked in class. That was really the 80s. Wow.
This was the early 80s.
Ah, okay. So you responded to Susan's poetry, but at the same time, you didn't necessarily get it.
Yeah. I mean, the poetry that I – most of the poetry that I was listening to – told a story. And so I think I had to let go of that part of the brain that expects to hear a story. I mean, it's funny. That's why I chose Alphabet's End, because it has all the elements of a story.
Well, let's hear it. This is Alphabet's End by Susan Wheeler.
So I'll speak ill of the dead. A was crooked, planting the small left finger of the raccoon in the upholstery before he sold the car. B made certain to point out Celia's bewildered look before her pink slip came in the flimsy institution. In the videos of C as Jejun overwhelmed the cast. D built dollhouses. Even Lonnie down at Shell found him less a man for it the night they went off to see the stock cars break. I wanted E's hair, but by the end it was no more. F refused alms, pulling the man up by his shirt in the street, and G sought rewards. Mary Beth said H fondled her for sport. Now you, I, Smokey, hell-bent on a village version of Club 21, embarrassed by our attentions. Mistrust it was. Dig me a chamber of preparedness.
That was Alphabet's End from Susan Wheeler's book, Smokes. So, Susan, you begin the poem, So I'll Speak Ill of the Dead,
yeah.
Which is a wonderful way to begin a poem because one doesn't expect a poet to speak ill of the dead. Mm-hmm. And you proceed. You proceed to speak ill of the dead. Mm-hmm. But you don't give them names. They're A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then it comes to I, which mm-hmm. is, of course, a very significant letter for a poet. Why didn't you give them names?
Well, I thought as long as I was going to speak ill of them, I'd spare them complete calumny.
And I think it's really funny, D built dollhouses, like, ooh, gotcha, D. mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just read this as a little melancholy thing. I wanted E's hair, but by the end it was no more.
Mm-hmm.
Suggests cancer, right?
Yeah.
And that is very elegiac.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all speaking ill of the dead here.
This actually is an elegy. It's an elegy for a friend of mine who died during the worst of the AIDS scourge, William Osborne. And I was thinking about expectations for an elegy, that they do generally talk about the dead in a laudatory fashion, and thinking about confounding that expectation. All of these are invented until I get to Smokey, which was William Osborne's nickname.
Yeah, I was going to ask you who Smokey was. That was the one thing that really baffled me in the poem. So,
yeah.
And there is a note in the poem that is dedicated to William T. Osborne, 1964 to 1993.
Right.
But it's also confusing the next bit.
Now you, I, Smokey, hell-bent on a village version of Club 21.
That's a reference I don't get. David, you get that? Do you know what Club 21 is?
I was thinking of the 21 Club.
Yeah.
What's the 21 Club?
It was like a jazz club, was it not?
Well, it was a little stodgier and starchier than that.
Is the 21 Club the one with all the jockeys out front, the concrete jockeys out front? Right.
Oh, the famous New York restaurant place. Yeah, okay.
It sounds like you got sort of what I intended. It's always a crapshoot whether somebody comes up with what your own connotations are. It was the one remark that characterized this fellow, the two clauses, hell-bent on a village version of Club 21, bringing that kind of starchiness down to the village, which even at that time was known as a gay haven, embarrassed by our attentions, a sort of modesty to him as well. And then, again, braiding in a little of the speaking ill, perhaps it wasn't modesty, but mistrust. All of that, one can meet halfway, one can catch or not. I hope, of course, any writer hopes to get better at being able to suggest things without stating them. But
without being too obvious about it,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I did hope to connote something about a suit, a bow tie, and a downtown version of it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because Smokey is also falls with the alphabet with I, since this was the close association, there is an intimation in any death of someone who's close to us of our own death.
Yeah. Dig me a chamber of preparedness. So it refers back to you, the I, in the poem. And you're kind of next in the poem. You're after H. David, any questions you have about the poem? Anything else?
I mean, it's interesting to have certain questions answered. But, in the end, I don't even know that I need those answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I feel most often? I feel relief that something's over. That is like the most, that's the feeling I have with most things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not the feeling at all that I get. I feel something at the end of this poem. I feel something, and I don't have a word for that.
Hmm.
And I think that's what art is. I think art gives you a feeling that you can't name because you don't get to have it very often. it's like a feeling of wonder. And when I say puzzlement, I mean puzzlement in like a beautiful way. Sometimes you just kind of dismiss something and you think, well, I can't make sense of that. And there's no point even trying. But there's a beautiful way in which I can feel puzzled too. And I've always loved that about your poetry.
Oh, that is so gratifying. Thanks.
Susan Wheeler's latest book of poems is called Meme. David Sedaris' latest book of prose is called Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls. Visit our website, poetryfoundation.org, to read poems, poem guides, essays, and to watch videos, to listen to podcasts, and much, much more. And let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is,
I feel relief that something's over.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.